Welcome to the EFAS Baseball Cards Podcast. We are back. It's been a month since we recorded. I apologize for that delay. You can thank my dad's alma mater, the North Carolina State Wolfpack, for making it to the Final Four. Gave me and my dad an excuse to go hang out at a bougie resort in Scottsdale with some NC State boosters, hit the Final Four, hit the national title game. But alas, Bobby Basketball is transformed back into Bobby Baseball, and we're back with another EFAS episode. TJ, what's going on, my dude?
Oh, shit, it's just TJ the diaper guy over here, bro.
Dude, yeah, about, like 8, 12 times a day, living your life in three-hour shifts, something like that.
Yeah, so it's wild. So I think she's got my sense of humor. There's no doubt. So it's hard to be mad at it, but you know, my wife will have her, you know what I'm saying? And they're chilling, they're napping and everything's chill. And then I'll be like, all right, I'll take her for a little while. Bam, four diapers in 25 minutes. It's like, who's feeding this kid? And then I'm, you know, feeding her. So I really, again, can't be mad at the situation. It's really a good chance to just hold up a mirror to yourself. Let me tell you.
Why are you saving all your deuces and your blowouts for me, girl? Come on.
Yeah.
Tell my daughter was, at least. My wife would hand her off to go take a nap and be like, yeah, she hasn't pooped in, X amount of time. Immediately, I see that brown streak going up her back as I'm holding her. And I'm like, oh, boy.
Such force and veracity with which they expel these things. But anyway, baseball cards?
Well, let me ask, has your daughter like shit across the room yet? Like where you're changing her and it just projectiles?
Right. Yeah, we're like three seasons deep. I'm pretty sure we're past the point of my wife even politely pretending to listen to this podcast. There's a little joke running around. I tell her, but she's a known shooter. You know what I'm saying? And so I've yet to be shot personally because I just have good situational awareness and self-defense skills. You know what I'm saying? So, but I have witnessed no less than three shootings, and it's hard to be sympathetic and also not laugh at the same time. You know what I'm saying? Because I mean, let's face it, bro, you get some projectile 2 to 3 feet, I mean, it's pretty respectable.
It's pretty
distance.
Crazy. It's pretty crazy. TJ, situational awareness, there you go.
I'm light on my feet, you know what I'm saying?
I'm sure you're ready to move on from that, so I won't make you live in that world. What's baseball cards, man? What's going on? What have you been doing? It's been a month.
Well, hey, first of all, man, sorry about your wolf pack, but it seemed like you had a blast out there. Bobby, big
spring
time.
Spring break for adults. Damn, the things that happen at the Final Four. I mean, seriously, like when you're on a resort with a bunch of other, like mostly like parents that are away from their kids and just kind of on the other side of the country in paradise, living the dream. Whew. I made some good friends. So some fine greenery. I'm pretty sure I saw the code to the Matrix. Mm-hmm. All kinds of discoveries were made. Dude, mm-hmm. I came back from that trip feeling so refreshed. It was amazing. So TJ, Take a break from parenting. Get your wife to take a break.
Well, I did actually. I went out to Atlanta for a weekend. So as you know, I've probably mentioned before, I got two jobs, right? And I'm a district manager at both jobs. So, you know, we have these annual meetings or whatever. So we went out to Atlanta and, you know, I'm a long-suffering Atlanta Falcons fan. We're talking since like 94 type suffering. You might be able to sympathize with their Padres, but in either case, so we go out there and Tyler Allgeier, he's a running back. He's second running back, but he's a running back for the Falcons. And he's some way, shape or form, like a sponsor of our company. He's, you know, paid to be in our commercials, et cetera, et cetera. So we go out to run a 40-yard dash with Tyler Allgeier. This guy's barefooted in jeans. He smoked everybody. Wild, but it was cool. I got a little signed picture, and then just a couple days ago, I was up in Phoenix, and we had our meeting at Chase Field, and Luis Gonzalez comes out, special guest. So I got to shake hands, take pictures, and got an autograph from him. So that was pretty cool too. In terms of cards, man, I really haven't been doing much except for these PSA bulk subs. I got murdered on my latest nines all over the field. trying to get some selling done. We were talking a little bit about that before we hit record. Found a nice consignment guy because, man, making time for these low ball sales is tough. But yeah, man, just kind of coasting, picking up Yachty singles where I see them, and trying to let go of some stuff and wait for Caminero to get called up.
Damn. Oh my God, dude. Can things go any worse with Caminero? Like the progression of how things have happened? It's like if you were to like write a script of how to minimize value of a card, it's like Caminero's.
You're going to have rookie cards on the market first. That's going to be the killer, man. That's going to be, it's going to kill me by like at least 20%.
Yeah, for sure. Like the real one, I sent you that yesterday. The real one auto, like the Topps Heritage auto of Junior Caminero, things going for like $120. That's like nothing in the grand scheme of a rookie autograph specifically from that set. So, I mean, you're probably not going to gem any of them, but if you just want it from your PC, I think it's a really cool card. So shout out to that card. Those things are rarer than we think. Even
I've got a pro debut gold auto numbered out of 50, and it's got a ding corner, so I never sent it to PSA. So I was like, maybe I'll just let this go real quick. I comped it real quick this morning. It's like an $80 card. I'm like, well, shit, man, I pay $110 for it. You know, it's going to be a problem. So we really need him to get on the field and start doing some things.
Yeah, for sure. Is he back? I know he missed some time. He was hurt. Is he like back in the lineup?
Yeah, he's back. He was out for about a week.
Got it.
But again,
not too bad. Not too bad. Oh, man. Any like big cards to mention? Anything like that? Or are you just kind of chilling?
I went pretty hard early in the month with those, with that red chrome Yachty and that red Topps Japan Yachty. And I saw a few things pop up. And I don't know, man. I mean, and we'll get into it here in a bit when we're talking about, but it's just really hard for me to justify paying more than $250 for really anything at this juncture. You really couldn't show me too much in terms of my PC that I'd be willing to come out of pocket $350, $400 for, no matter how much I want it. It's just hard to justify, man.
Yeah, I hear you. So let's get to it. Budgeting and like the money side of things. I think this is like, you know, you kind of had like a little segment about a year ago on the darker side of the hobby. You brought up some good points. We refer to it from time to time. But I mean, this stuff costs a lot of money, right? I think like we made jokes on last season's finale, like we don't like money. Like that's why we're in this hobby. But the reality of it, yeah, you need money to like participate in this hobby, you know, no matter what level. And it's all relative, right? It's the same way like, so like I live in California, $1 million house here is average, as stupid as that sounds to some people. The same way a $300,000 house in other parts of the country is just like high end, like luxury, like insane level of money. Like all this stuff is kind of relative. So when we talk about like a big card, a cheap card, again, it's all relative. The cards that I think are big cards for some people out there, they're like, yo, that is stupid. Why would you ever pay that kind of money for a card? And there are other people like, why would you even waste your time buying that? Why don't you go buy this Super Fractor? Like, if you really want to do it right. So, you know, that's the caveat. This all needs to be individualized for you. Don't let other people influence you. But I think it's a good topic. And maybe we talk about like how we approach it, maybe some pitfalls from our past, some things that we've done well, what works for us. And, you know, like I don't have all the answers. I'm sure you don't. None of us do. But, you know, just hearing other people talk about it, maybe if you take away like one or two things to apply to your own way you collect, and it keeps you in the hobby longer, keeps you happy, keeps it from like impacting your finances, then I'll say this is a successful episode. We'll try to tie it into cards. We'll talk about some of the cards we bought recently. At least I will. So we'll try to still keep it entertaining. But remember, you're talking to a CPA here. So, I mean, I'll do my best. I'll do my best to educate.
Bobby the bookmaker.
Not bookmaker. I'm not that guy. I'm not the guy that was talking to Ipe. Yeah, the bookkeeper. I don't even keep the books anymore. I just help people keep the books and look at the hard stuff. But I don't know, TJ, like, what? This is such a broad topic. How do you approach a hobby budget? Like, what do you do?
So I've kind of gone full spectrum in the last 5 years, you could call it, just for sake of round numbers. Started really, really getting heavy maybe 2019, and just kind of gone half a decade pretty heavily invested in this hobby. So I've done everything from, you know, grabbing retail every time I get a shot to, you know, being out on the road at work. Oh, there's a Walmart. I'll stop in real quick to see if they got retail. You know, maybe spending, you know, $25 to $100 several times a week just on retail. Been to where I'm going to the hobby shop once a week on payday, grabbing a hobby box all the time. You know, going through eBay and finding a half case of Bowman Blaster breaks and buying a Cardinal spot, but buying it for all four breaks. You know what I mean? Because they're breaking two cases. So I'm going to get all the Cardinals cases from all two cases, cards from two cases. There's a lot of different stuff. And if you have disposable income, you could spend money 24 hours a day. eBay never closes. You know what I'm saying? And there's just constantly the ability to consume. And so if you're addictive or you have a lot of disposable income or a lot of free time or lots of different scenarios there where you could find yourself just consistently consuming within the hobby. I've done that, you know, pretty heavily for the past several years. And only recently have I kind of chilled and taken a pump in the brakes approach. Maybe a hanger or a blaster a week. I haven't bought a hobby box in a significant period of time. Yeah, man, it's just, there's, like you said, it's so broad because you could talk about just breaks. You could talk about just singles. You could talk about just retail. You could talk about just hobby. You could talk about just buying singles on Twitter. There's a multitude of ways in which you can consume, and you really just kind of have to find out what works for you and what are the pitfalls of each. And I think we do a good job of talking about the pitfalls of hobby products and how that's really not the move. Like if you're spending $500 on a tribute hobby box, I hope you're not missing any meals, man, because you're not getting $500 worth of cards back out of that box. So yeah,
one in 20 times you're going to get it. It's the joy of the rip. I would think any hobby box, it's kind of like 50% of the value of that box is you're paying for someone to curate a card opening experience. You're not going to get that value back though. That's kind of how I would think about it.
At least I can count the number of times I've pulled a $300 or more card on one hand from a hobby box.
Yeah, it's tough. And you've ripped a lot of hobby boxes.
More than I care to admit on documented recordings.
When was the last time you've ripped a hobby box?
I got an S1 hobby box of 24 tops. It's like $79-$80 or something like that. Nothing good out of that. Before that, shit, man, probably Bowman Chrome Time of 23. I've really just, you know, spending $200-$400 on a box has just finally had that alcoholic moment of clarity where it's like, yeah, man, this is just not the business. This is not the way to go about this for any reason. This is just not going to happen.
And you just end up with, at least my experience is, then you just like end up with these stacks. Like we were sending pictures back and forth before this of just stacks of cards on our desk. So shout out to that. If you're a member, if you're paying for the EFIS subscription, DM me your team. I'll get you a team bag. Just hit me with your address. I'll send it your way. If you're on the Discord and you're not a member, you know, $5-$10, just pay me for shipping, you know, I'll get you some cards. So I'm trying to trim down some of the junk. So shameless plug for my organization efforts. But yeah, the hobby box, man, it's tough. It's tough. You really only get like 5 or 10 cards that are even worth keeping a lot of the times.
So that are worth more than $2 because if we've reached the point where base is again, who cares?
Yeah, it's kind of, you know, I keep some base, like, but not much.
I'll keep your big rookies. What's an Ellie Reese's paper going for? $2?
Probably not much. It's just nice to have one in the PC, at least for me. I like having it stowed away in the box somewhere just so I'm flipping through. I can see it. But that's really about it. I haven't hit a hobby box since December. So I'm holding strong. I'm gonna We'll see. I don't know if I'll make it, but I'm going to try to make it through all of 2024 with no hobby boxes. I've been pretty strict about it. I've been ripping a fair bit of retail, but pretty cheap. So compared to the hobby, because anytime you take that $100, $200, $300 hit, like bang, like it just happens so fast. It's like a lottery scratch-off ticket. But what about retail? So what's your experience been with retail, and how's that changed?
So I used to just grab whatever I could. So, you know, picture me standing at Walmart and there's really not a whole lot going on a shelf. Maybe there's some Heritage Blasters. Yeah. I'll grab a couple of those. Just, you know.
Well, it used to be like a treasure hunt. Just like finding it was like, felt like a big hit. Just finding it, you know, at least three, 4 years ago.
That was its own win. So, you know, I'm a little more selective now. So, you know, there's a lot of products that I just won't touch. And I have a long list and various reasons, but I don't buy Stadium Club because I never hit anything. I don't buy Heritage for the same reason. I don't buy anything Panini because even if I did hit something, it's probably not worth anything. And I don't really, you know, I've just kind of filtered that out of my, you know, collecting. So I guess the list of what I would buy is probably shorter. I'll buy Flagship. I'll buy Bowman. And I'll buy Archives if I want to have a good time. And that kind of just, it's just about it, man. Yeah, there's really not much else. So if I see it, you know, lately I've been grabbing S1 hangers because that seems to be the best format for that product. If they're there, maybe I'll grab a blaster if they're there. But I've also, you know, I'm to the point where I'm going to get one or two just to do something as opposed to get five or six to try to get something. You know what I'm saying? And that's kind of, I've tempered my expectations. I'm a little more realistic.
Yeah, you're like keeping it fun. I feel like at that point when you're spending like, you know, what's a hanger, $12.99, something like that.
Yeah.
Like even a blaster at like $26, $27. Honestly, I think those S1 blasters suck because I don't like those holiday designs personally.
It's
like, yeah, you get like four of those in the blaster and those are your like quote unquote hits. And then maybe you get like, maybe if you're lucky, you get like a rainbow foil and like a gold. Maybe. I just feel like the hangers have been so much better. I mean, I think for S1, I think two blasters. I did one mega box and probably five or six hangers. So that adds up too. Like when you look at the math on that, that's, you know, I might as well have just bought a jumbo for the money. But at the same time, my wife's really wanted to get involved in the hobby a little bit. So, you know, some of those are, like both blasters are, she saw them and she bought them. She's bought me a couple hangers. And then we like open the packs together and it's kind of fun. So
yeah, I've had the wife opening up packs with me and she has a good time. But it's really just, what about this one? What about this one? What about this one?
Quick she's aside. Like, ooh, a Padre. And I'm like, oh yeah, that. She's like, oh, it's a rookie card. And I'm like, yeah, that is cool. But like, ain't nobody getting hyped for a Matt Waldron base card.
It's crazy how discerning our eye is. My wife offered to come on here and just give you guys a real wife's perspective on the hobby at some point in time.
Oh, shit. My wife wants to come on, too. She's like, when do I get to come on? Well, one time we'll take a break and we'll just let them duke it out and see what the hell happens.
That'll be our most.
That might be the last episode ever. That might be the end. We might both get killed after that. I don't know.
I think that might be gold in the making right there. the wife episode.
Oh God. Yeah. I don't know. It could get ugly fast. Or it could just turn into something completely different. It could turn into like a mom's emotional support group or something. I don't know.
Yeah,
for husbands that are idiots.
They may start demanding access to my bank account immediately. It's going to be a whole thing.
Oh man. Well, I have open books now, so I've been like severely budgeting. We'll get into that, but maybe I'll talk more about that retail experience. So like hangers, to your point, at like $12-13, I think that's a really fun rip. So every time I go to Target, that's really the only place I go that's going to have this stuff. If I see it, even if there's 15 hangers and 12 blasters and 3 mega boxes and 2 super boxes sitting there, I'm going to buy a hanger. Like that is my move. It's cheap. The odds have been decent. The I've had some really nice hits, like in that small amount of stuff. I got that Juan Soto Independence Day. I got that Ronald Acuna, nice yellow foil. I got a couple other nice
Golden Mirror.
Dude, yeah, that's a monster. I haven't hit a Golden Mirror yet, ever. I actually don't think I've ever hit an SSP, other than, unless you want to count a Let's Go. Did you see the post I made about that?
Yeah, Bobby pulled the, just found this while going through some cards post.
Well, so, I mean, I think that kind of shows you how confusing this hobby is sometimes. So I've been like really, really focused to organize my PC and like slim it down. And I'm going through my quote unquote base cards to see what to like. I'm putting it into three spots. I'm putting it into just team bags for Halloween packs for kids in my neighborhood that go nuts for this shit. I'm putting it into like a high-end PC that I'm keeping, and like a low-end that I'm just going to try to give away to people as team bags or sell for like really cheap. Right. And I see this, I'm like, what the fuck? It's like Nolan Gorman Let's Go rookie card. And so I'm like, I'm pretty sure that's something. But I shows how much of an idiot I am, because I didn't even know what those were until like 3 weeks ago. I feel like somebody in the Discord's been really stocking up on them. And I like saw it and I was like, is that rare? And I figured out it was. So the box of finest that I bought last year and trashed, I guess it had a Nolan Gorman Let's Go.
You know what's crazy is I think I have a Boba shit that I wasn't aware until just right now at this moment.
I'm gonna. Right, so you're that guy too. Yeah, you're that guy too. Oh my god!
Yeah, there's certain products. So here's a good example: Heritage, and the reason why I won't buy it. I don't really care to have to go to Cardboard Connection and figure out what all these sneaky ass short prints are. I just don't care about the product enough to want to do that. So
me, like, is this cool? This feels like it should be a short print.
Yeah, I heard about, yeah, those are kind of dope. Short print or not, those are sick. Those animal cards, there's a bunch of them. But yeah, I think it's just an insert set.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat though. Like, so yesterday I actually bought a blaster. I went nuts because I did want to talk about Heritage a little bit because I like the design. But I bought a blaster and a hanger of Heritage. Really cool cards. The QC is actually like really good. Like, and these cards, the color really pops, but like, I have no idea what the hell any of this shit is. No clue. So like you said, I got to go on like Cardboard Connection, and before I give away something important, I have to figure out what it
is. It's like, oh wow, that was a flip stock or something. You know what I mean? Or there was, yeah, a white border.
Yeah. For that. Like, I have no idea what this stuff is, but I feel like, you know, Heritage. So I give it a thumbs up. Obviously, it's a set builder set, but like, it's cool. If you like Heritage, I think you'll like this year's. But if you never like Heritage, you're not going to like it this year because it's the same. But I was happy.
Heritage is cool because it's consistent and it has enough to keep you busy. You got Heritage, you get your Heritage high number, then you get your Heritage minor league. If you're really into cardboard instead of paper and the old fashioned, you know, look or whatever, you could just collect Heritage all year long. But yeah, I agree, man. It's not for everybody. It's not for me. I do respect it. It's just not for me.
Yeah. They're beautiful cards though. I was last year, the Heritage variations were amazing. The image variations, that is. But I was like looking at galleries of image variations this year, and I just honestly not super impressed so far. So that was the only thing that was a little bummed. But on the rip, I was happy. I got a Jordan Romano game used relic, you know, whatever. It's mm-hmm. a relic. That's cool. And then I hit a Nolan, I don't know how to pronounce his name, Nolan Schmanuel or whatever, the first baseman. Yeah, the first baseman for the Angels. Hit his real one auto. So that was cool. Never expecting autos out of Heritage. So I was pretty happy with that. Probably got my money back, but I'm going to keep the cards. Those will go into the PC. So, and maybe I have something else. Who the hell knows? Because what is all this stuff? I have no idea. Did get a Junior Caminero base. So that was cool. Sorry, yes. I completely derailed us.
No, but his autos really are going for $100. That's wild.
It's crazy. It's crazy. You know, I mean, you look back at some of the prices of other guys like a Gunnar Henderson from last year's and like Corbin Carroll, they're in the 200 to 250 range. So JC is, I mean, even Mason Wynn's at like 80, 90 bucks. So Caminero is not getting a lot of love right now.
He's got to get on the field and do something.
Yeah. So, I mean, we'll see. Maybe the price even comes down if he doesn't do something and more of this stuff gets pulled from packs, or maybe supply dries up, he gets hot, and people are like, oh, this is actually a cool card. I actually like the image, so I'm like, all right, cool. I think I might get that.
The design this year is cool, even with, you know, neon colors considered. Yeah. It's still a pretty nice set.
I put the JC. It's on the hit list. So I got, like, a top 10 that I manage on my phone. Now that I'm budgeting, so I'll give like the background on how I'm doing it. I set a monthly budget of what I'm comfortable spending, and I have other things like I give it a boost my birthday month. I'm comfortable spending a little bit more, comfortable spending a little more around the holidays. And like my work has this thing called Spot Awards. It's basically like really small, like one-time bonuses if you do something special. Generally, most people will get like one a year. I've decided I can spend 100% of that on cards if I want. So long story short, I felt comfortable with $200 a month coming out of my pocket for the hobby. Seems reasonable. Like, this is my primary hobby. So I'm like, I feel good spending $200 a month on it. And I feel like I can tell my wife I'm spending $200 a month and feel really comfortable that I've deserved and earned that. So that's where I'm at. And for birthday month and Christmas month, $500 I can spend each of those months. And this is a net budget. So it's nice when you have a big collection from probably spending more than $200 a month that you can finance. But even this year, people have probably seen, you probably hear me say this and say, you're full of it. I've seen the cards that you've posted that you've bought. There's no way you've only spent, you know, $800 this year. And they would be completely correct because I have the numbers right here and I've spent nearly $4,000, but I've also sold over $3,000 in cards. So I've got every sale. I've got every purchase documented. So, I mean, I'm lucky that I have a big collection that I can finance from. I think I've kind of like hit a state of maturity a little bit in the hobby, because there's always going to be cool stuff that you want to add. But now, you know, I'm using my displays as like these are truly the important cards in my collection. So if I'm buying something new, what's coming out of that display? And am I comfortable with that? And should I just sell that to finance the new thing? So that's kind of how I've been rolling with it, but it's allowed me to buy some really cool cards. So like the top ones, I did get the Ellie Golden Mirror SSP, amazing image. I was super happy with that and didn't even have a ton of belief in Ellie, but I'm finding myself flipping to Reds games on MLB TV like every day. He is must watch baseball, so happy with that. I got the J-Rod SSP with the big trident. I actually got a J-Rod 1/1 rookie card. So it was actually the magenta printing plate from 2022 Topps Chrome.
I just saw that this morning.
Sick. Oh, yeah, I bought it. I feel like I got a pretty good relative deal on it. I mean, I spent $600, right? So it's expensive, but $600 for a 1/1 printing plate, I was like, I've been looking for a cool card that is the J-Rod like flagship image, and I hadn't decided on what it was. And when that popped up on eBay, I'm like, that's my thing. So sent that to PSA just for authentication. It should be back to me on Monday.
Let me ask you, why you sent it for authentication as opposed to grading? Just curious.
Because there ain't one better. Like, I just feel like to me, it's like, it's a 1/1. Why detract from the value by putting like it, unless I'm like looking at it and I'm like, I'm totally certain that's a 10. I'm like, anything else is going to reduce the value on it. Why not just, it's a 1/1. It's the flagship image. Just the way I think, I just want it authenticated and nobody out there can say I have this card in a higher grade than you because it doesn't exist. So.
Got it. So you just really wanted the encapsulation, the authentication.
Yep, exactly.
Got it. I mean, it looks mean in that slab, let me tell you.
The color match with the magenta and the PSA red. I mean, it looks pretty good too. So I haven't had it in hand yet in that form, but you know, the pictures look good. But the long and short of it is those are some huge cards. And if I was just buying those, or if you were just looking at my buying posts, you would say, oh my God, this guy is spending thousands and thousands of dollars on this hobby. And you would be right. But I'm also, you know, kind of using the hobby to finance that. If you're just getting started, you don't really have anything to do that with. But if you've been in it for a while, that's kind of the path that you can take. So try to have a long-term view. That's what I'm doing. You know, does it mean there's stuff that I maybe would have bought in past years that I don't buy now because I'm staring that number in the face? Like right now, I'm like, I have $517 to spend on cards. That is my number. It's in Excel right in front of me. I know what it is. I know that I get $200 more on May 1st. If I sell some more cards, I can get some more money towards it. So I'm really tempted. I'm like, I made that top 10 list of what I expect to buy over the next, you know, 8 months, the rest of this year. So if I buy something that's not on that list, I got to realize maybe I can't buy something that is on the list. I don't know. So that's how I'm looking at it.
And I think our PCs are obviously different. You have kind of a broad PC of a few pieces of a bunch of different guys and some stuff that isn't necessarily long-term valuable. It's just stuff that you like all your Padres Golden variations and such. And then you have some stuff that, you know, may end up being like a long-term hold that you could sell potentially down the line, like some of your J-Rod stuff and some of your older stuff, future Hall of Famers, et cetera, and just kind of a mix of a bunch of stuff. Obviously, I'm in a little bit of a different, you know, kind of direction. So when I'm looking at, you know, stuff throughout the course of the day or the month to buy, I'm looking for, you know, particular pieces. You know what I mean? So I'm looking for a 2004 Topps Gold Yachty paper out of 2004. I need one of those. I know it's going to cost somewhere between $200 and $500. So I'm just looking for the right combination of condition and price, and then I'll pull the trigger. So, you know, I might see that card next week. I might see that card next month. I might see that card in 6 months. There's a few other cards I'm looking at. So, you know, there'll be points in time where two or three of these cards will pop up in the same week. It's, some guy's liquidating his collection or something like that.
Yeah.
And you know, and in my position, there are, you know, there's a group, and I'm guessing it's between like 25 and 30 of us that are all just really super hardcore Yachty Molina collectors. Because when these things pop up, I'll see how many watchers there are, how many bidders there are, or how quickly they're getting gobbled up. So, you know, I have to kind of take all of that into account. It's kind of a weird game that I'm playing here where I'm looking for five or six things and there's, you know, 25, 30 other guys and they're smart. They know how to look, when to look, where to look, and you know what I'm saying? When to pounce. So, it's very, very detailed. So I can go a couple months without spending anything significant. And then 1-2 months.
Bam. Here's four Yachty out of five reds all at once.
Exactly.
Like,
and I had, in that same week, I had another guy offer me the 3 out of 5 red chrome.
Oh, God.
And then another Japan red out of 5 too. Cause when they see you posting in it and buying it and talking about it, it's like, hey bro, you know, some guy just crawls out of the
I boat. Got this too. Yeah. My boy, yeah. My buddy's got this.
What's that laying around in a box, bro? Let's do something with that. So yeah, it's pretty crazy, but I just really try to not do a bunch of ancillary stuff on the side in the meantime. So, you know, there's some $20, $30, $120, $110, you know, Yachty Autos or, you know, older parallels and stuff like that. Like, oh man, that's nasty. I've been looking at that for a while, but hold on. Just patience, like Mel Gibson and Braveheart, just hold, you know, my face is painted blue. I'm sitting here just like scrolling and trying not to buy it now, just waiting for the right opportunity to pick up that big stuff. So pick your spots.
Yeah. So tell me this now. with being more, and I have my answer, but I want to get yours first. Being more like conscious about what you're buying. Do you ever have like buyer's remorse when you buy one of these big Yachty's and feel bad about how much you spent?
Honestly, almost every single time.
Really? Every time?
Oh, yeah. Oh yeah. Man. Because, I mean, we're talking, I mean, let's just think about it for a minute. And now maybe it's more specific to me, but my PC has already peaked in value. Maybe he gets the Hall of Fame and we see another little bump, whatever. But I really don't see any of this stuff appreciating 5-10x long term. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And, you know, maybe there's a long term Cardinals or historical franchise or whatever, but pretty much I'm of the mind that what I'm paying for it would be what I would be able to sell it for. Best case scenario, I'm breaking even on a lot of this stuff. So, you know, I try to be somewhat financially responsible, and it's kind of hard not to realize it. Like, bro, you just spent $250 on a piece of paper.
Yeah, I feel you. Oh, I see a guest entering. Oh, I think no. I know who that might be.
We'll have to see.
We'll have to see. What is that name?
That's the wildest screen name I've ever seen.
All right. I am seeing a message. Someone is queuing into this pod. It says loading video. The name is Naked Ellie De La Cruz Fan 69420.
So for those who don't know, the Discord got spammed by like a bot the other day. I'm wondering if this is something along those lines. This is also definitely a first for the EFIS, just a live drop-in.
Well, we'll see if this special guest, this Naked Ellie De La Cruz fan, can get in. Hopefully this person, like the Super Bowl streaker, placed a prop bet on FanDuel about a streaker showing up on the EFIS podcast today before making their appearance. Oh, it looks like they dropped. I don't know. Well, oh, there he is. Naked Ellie De La Cruz fan. What's going on, man?
How's it going, guys?
I see his shirt. I feel deceived.
Is this the Ellie meeting?
we're talking a little bit about Ellie. I finally revealed that I bought the golden mirror.
Yeah, that's important information. Yeah.
I might be eating my prior words about Ellie. I know he doesn't have the metrics that I look for, but oh my God. Like, I posted in the Discord, but like, this guy makes a routine ground out to short be must watch baseball on both sides of the ball, whether he's the guy firing it to first or the guy just nearly legging it out as an infield single.
It's totally. I mean, he's not, you know, a two-sport athlete, but it reminds me growing up of watching like Deion Sanders or Bo Jackson, were just like so athletic. Every play was just like must see. You know, you didn't know if he was going to sprint through a wall or hit a ball 450 feet. Like, dudes must see TV.
I'm pretty sure I advise everybody to pump the brakes on him. So talk about eating your words. Good God.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Yeah, you're encouraging me to sell when I bought that home field advantage, or when I
reverse curse that home field.
Yeah, we did lay some heavy curses. So, like,
we need a fact check to run back and just see, like, all right, so TJ screwed him. TJ screwed him and him and him. Because I'm sure
we both picked Spencer Strider to win the Cy Young. Oof. Yeah. I believe I said that Royce Lewis was going to stay healthy all year and compete for the MVP. He did hit a homer, I think, at his first at bat, and I was like gloating, and then he like pulled up lame running the
base. I mean, if the MVP was decided in the first 12 minutes of the season, he probably would have, you know, been right, but lucky for him.
Oh my gosh.
Collateral ligaments all over the field.
Guys, welcome Philly to the EFIS podcast. This is now appearance number 3, I think. I mean, you're pretty much a regular now. How you been doing, man?
Been all right, you know. Happy baseball season's here. Springtime's here. Been going through an interesting perspective change in life. I don't know if you guys have done any of the budget talk yet, but
we're right in the middle. Perfect.
We're okay. Right in the middle. What there do you want to give us your epiphany and where you're at? No,
So it's definitely last 6-7 weeks have been a bit of challenge in life, and I'm sharing this because, you know, if anybody else can relate to this. Just know that you're not alone. Basically, I'm an addict, addicted to spending and compulsively debting to the point of, you know, avoiding paying bills, ignoring financial responsibilities, and kind of like the journey to acquire stuff. You know, it's kind of blown up in my face and trying to handle a lot of debt around it. But I'm also in a program getting help, you know, talking it out with people, really starting to see some changes in myself. And it's going to be something I have to manage the rest of my life. But, you know, if you're a guy out there that's, you know, hiding the mail, you know, so nobody sees the cards, if you're, you know, always looking for a way to like justify it, you know, you do you. But there's also help out there. If you've ever sat down like I have and said like, oh, this month I'm going to do this, and you couldn't stick to a plan, if you couldn't stick to a budget, you know, you don't have to deal with it alone. There's help out there for you. So the long and short of it, my side of the hobby the last couple of months has just been selling a lot of stuff, really whittling down to like a few things that are important to me that I want to have. And just paying off bills, you know, and it's not solely because of baseball cards. It's, you know, it's music equipment, movies and DVDs, all kinds of things over the years where I want to collect, want to get more and more of this stuff. Always got to have the newest, best thing. It's a dangerous pattern to get into, but you can get out of it.
Yeah. And it's a tough topic. And I mean, dude, thank you for coming on and sharing this. I mean, extremely brave. It's gotta be hard to, I remember the day that you sent us the message about it. It was, it was shocking to read. But at the same time, I would not be surprised by anybody in this hobby sending, or other hobbies. 'Cause like we, as like our culture is a consumerist.
Absolutely.
Culture. So I was in church last week, and they were talking about, my pastor was talking about the marketing budget in the US. It's something like a $6 trillion industry that is just there to influence your perception of products and what you need to be like a successful and happy person in society. And it's just crazy that it is that way. So I think there are a lot of people in a similar boat.
I don't want to, you know, throw words at, you know, marketing people like predatory, but at the end of the day, I mean, it's their job to make their company's money by selling you a bunch of stuff you don't need. You know, folks like me, we go for it. I mean, how many copies of Star Wars did I need to buy just because it had an upgraded resolution or a, you know, deleted scene that I wanted to see? I mean, just little things like that. So no, on the Discord, you know, I did have several people reach out to me on the side, and, you know, whether it was just to express, you know, kind of like gratitude for voicing what I'm going through, or just even to kind of share a similar story. You know, I know we're out there. I'm kind of early in the recovery stages, but I think down the road for me personally, I'd like to, you know, start up a group that's just based around, you know, healthy habits and maybe getting through some of this stuff and just kind of be a beacon of support and hope, as opposed to just, you know, letting that story define me. I mean, that's done. What's done is done. All I can do is my best going forward. Same for anybody else. So going to use that hopefully to help some people out.
Dude, that's making a difference, man. I mean, just talking about it and, you know, giving people that outlet, no matter what it is. So I've had things in my life that have been really hard, and it's like once you like address it and come to grips with it and you start to take control of it instead of it controlling you, I mean, doors will open, the light will shine brighter, the sun shines a little brighter, the air feels a little nicer on your skin. Like
the early home runs are a little longer and a little faster. I mean, you know, those strides are just gazelle-like.
It's crazy. I mean, it's anything in life. Like there's no shame. Like we're humans, like all of this stuff. Like I had a journey with mental health during the pandemic and becoming a dad that I was in some deep, dark places. And I was afraid to do therapy. When I finally did it, I was like, oh my God, why didn't I do this years ago? Like what is wrong with me? I like felt like there was something wrong with me, but when you realize there's not something wrong with you. That's just like the ups and downs of being a human.
Totally.
I don't know. Now we're getting into like deep stuff, and but like that's good. Like
it's the maybe psychology podcast now.
Yeah, maybe no one wants to hear this, and I kind of led with this. But if we help like one person add like one thing, like that's just positive to me, and I'm not here just to talk about cards. Like I wanted to inform and entertain, but if I can have a positive influence or this podcast and your story impact some other lives, I think that's an amazing thing.
Agreed. And you know, it's hard not to, you know, kind of wear a little bit of that journey with a bit of shame and embarrassment, but at the same time, to your point, you know, if it gets through to anybody out there, even one person, you know, I feel, you know, that I've done service out there to the world and it's worth it.
I think on some level though, Philly, everybody can relate to what you got going on, bro. And I know I can, you know, on a lot of levels. So, you know, I think it's an important message, and it's something that, cause you know, like we talked about a little earlier, the ability to consistently consume is never not present in this hobby. I mean, there's always something different and something else. And, you know, staying within your means is the most important thing, because you see a bunch of guys, and I've been on Reddit for a long time, or you know, other places, you see a bunch of guys that come in hot and heavy and then they flame out. Or you see a lot of sales like, hey, I got bills due, or hey, my car broke down, or hey, I got a vet bill, or hey, I mean, I've had to do that too. And as a grown man, I should have $1,200 laying around at some point. Why do I have $1,200 worth of Bowman laying around? You know what I'm saying? So it's really, like Bobby said, man, it's all relative. You know, I got guys in the Discord, you know, posting regular junk wax pickups, you know, little stuff like that. You can have fun in here with $1, $2 cards. It's really just eliminating the FOMO and the keeping up with the Joneses. And those are the two things where it's easy to get caught up when you see these guys posting these fancy PSA slabs of, you know, sparkly cards with signatures on them and all that other kind of stuff. Yeah, that's out there, but it's like, I own a car. I don't own the fanciest, nicest car that's on the road. My car still gets me up and down the street. I can do a lot of things in that car. It doesn't have to be a Lamborghini. You know what I'm saying? So just stay in your lane and make sure that you're, you know, mentally and financially healthy, because this is a hobby. This should be priority number like 5 or 6 after everything else we got going on. But really brave of you, Philly man. And, you know, I feel a lot of the same ways that you feel about a lot of the same stuff. So appreciate you, you know, coming out here and bearing your all like that. That's huge. And I think it is going to help a lot of people. Just take stock of where you're at. This is a hobby. It's not the stock market.
No, exactly. And I mean, you know, we all have our different joys we get out of it. But like you said, yeah, when it's trying to keep up, I mean, for me, it was almost kind of like I had to buy one thing every day, even if I didn't have money for 4 more days. It's like, okay, I can bid on this on eBay and I can win it. And I don't have to pay for 4 days before they cancel it. Okay, that'll work for me for today. Maybe I'll sell some stuff tomorrow so I can buy a new thing. And it just becomes this, you know, cycle of feeding it. So, you know, again, if that's relatable to anybody out there, like, you know, if you're on the Discord, reach out to me. Happy to get you heading in some direction if you need a helping hand. You know, if you're a listener that's not on there, there's all kinds of programs. Debtors Anonymous is one that's kind of a 12-step program that's been really amazing for me so far. Highly recommend it. But, you know, to TJ and Bobby's points, I mean, probably most of us listening are adults. And, you know, we should be able to take care of the little things in life without having to worry about, you know, oh God, how can I sell this out of 25 slab today to pay for my medical bill, or, you know, things that come up. So take stock of your life, you know, or tell me to shove it either way.
I don't think anybody's going to tell you to shove it, man.
You know, be safe, be responsible about it like anything else.
Yeah, totally. And that's really like what we talked about. I mean, you'll get to listen back to the first 30, 40 minutes of the pod, but that's kind of the message. I think if I were to give any advice, I would say just think about your big picture and don't let cards or anything else drive it. I mean, especially not cards. Like for me, like what's made me feel really comfortable this year as opposed to like in the past is just setting that plan. And like, I shared like basically what my budget is each month, how I manage, how I like have reward systems in there for like holidays or birthdays and stuff. And just like, I'm looking at a spreadsheet right in front of me that tells me exactly what I've bought and sold this year, and I'm managing to it. And that gives me comfort in what I'm doing. I have like a top 10 hit list of the stuff that I truly do want in the future. And at the same time, yesterday, I sat there and set an alarm for an auction of a card that I really want. And I watched it expire in front of my eyes, and I haven't, without bidding, and I haven't done that in a really long time. And it actually felt pretty freeing to be like, I don't have to bid on this. Like, I don't. So I did. And it was nice. But anyway.
With very, very, very few exceptions in this hobby, have I had the opportunity to purchase a card that I didn't have an opportunity further down the line to purchase that very same card. I mean, we're talking like a couple super short prints, a couple things numbered to 10 or less. Other than that, it's going to be around, bro. You're going to see it again. Give it a little bit of time. It's coming back around. Just like I said, I think the biggest relief in this hobby and the best difference between whatever it felt like before and how it feels now is just eliminating that fear of missing out constantly. Oh, if I don't buy that blaster, somebody else is going to buy it. We'll sit in that blaster. Is this card going to pop up again? I got to buy it now. It's release week. Like, there's so many variations of that, just eliminating that fear of missing out. Philly, before you go, man, you got to give us a couple Bowman names.
Bowman names. All right. All right. I think I was pretty high last year on Arjun Namala, the Toronto Blue Jays first round pick. He's the Indian born second generation player, shortstop, super huge power tools. You know, kind of with that Indian background, this guy could be kind of like a dual continent superstar down the road if everything clicks. You know, there really hasn't been that, you know, Indian superstar baseball player yet. So maybe the first one there. And then I think, you know, Walker Jenkins, how can you not? Dude's going to be, you know, probably 10-time all-star for the Twins down the road. Huge power, great bat. Probably 2-3 years away. You know, he's a high school guy, but at the end of the day, like, he's right up there with skill in terms of like Max Clark, Langford, Cruz. You know, he's right in that top five last year that all could have been first round picks. So either of those guys, good picks.
Look at Philly with some Bowman picks.
I know, like, right, like no prep, just like right off the top of your head.
I just wanted to throw it at him just to see him. Look at Philly. Right down the middle, he was sitting dead red too.
He's like ready for it, like Ellie.
You know, definitely taken, you know, a step away from the hobby for the most part. And then, but filling it with watching baseball and enjoying it and, you know, not trying to look at it as a collectible thing at this point. Just watching the games, having fun, just watching players, watching minor leagues, watching these, you know, seeing scattered reports come through and fun podcasts. So, you know, I've kind of redirected that energy just towards the sport I've loved and always loved and having fun with it.
That's why we're here. That's why we're here.
You want to stay on to hit the mailbag with us, Philly?
No, I got to start getting kids ready for soccer. It's, you know, they put opening soccer day on 4/20. So, you know, I don't know what the parents are going to be like on the sidelines, but
I think I might know what they're going to be like on the sidelines.
On the grass while they're out on the grass.
Exactly.
Thanks for coming on, bro. All right. Appreciate it.
Yes. Miss you, Phil. Appreciate you, Phil.
Can I drop one question for you and I'll bounce?
Yes. Let's do it.
4/20 question. If you could smoke with any major league player, who would you pick?
Oh, that's an amazing question.
Wow. Oh, my goodness.
You know, I've always kind of had the feeling that in the Carlos Martinez days, that Yadi kind of, you know, may have partaken of the devil's lettuce. I think there was that story of them like stomping out a guy outside a strip club or something like that. So, you know, he was into some, you know, illicit activity. So I'm going to go with Yadi, bro. I'm going to just go with Yadi.
For me, it's got to be a Padre.
You know, Tatis is getting lit whenever he gets a chance.
Oh, he's getting lit, but he's going to get me arrested. Oh
yeah, exactly.
This is tough, but I feel like for me, Jurickson Profar, he just has the vibes all the time. And I just feel like Jurickson would pop on some music. We'd like we'd vibe, maybe play some PS5 or something. I don't know.
Like,
so I'm going to say Jurickson and Profar, but close behind him, Jackson Merrill, Joe Musgrove, Tatis. So
not a bad, not
and a
bad
knuckleballer, selection. Another Matt Waldron mention. I feel like knuckleballers are weird dudes, so he could be fun.
Oh yeah, he's the kind that's going to have the bizarre French cinema movie to put on after you're baked and just confuse the hell out of you. I mean, yeah. That's knuckleballers.
If I think back to the past, though, Francisco Cervelli, like that guy was a dude. Like, he was one of my favorite pirates, so I think I'd be interested in that as well.
Nice. I don't know. I'm tempted to say Bellinger just because, you know.
Oh,
you see it on his face, so you can know he's probably a regular, but you know, he's probably got a whole routine down and really knows the best out there.
That was a great question, man. Thanks so much for joining us and sharing your story. We appreciate you.
Absolutely.
Man.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having
appreciate
me.
Appreciate you, Phil.
Thanks, Philly. Oh man. What a question. I love it. All right, TJ, we got some more questions.
Calendar appropriate. We are recording this on Saturday.
I know, right? Now I'm like, oh shit, I didn't even realize it was 4:20. let's see. There's some questions from last time. All right, here's a good one. This is from Houseboat 8686. Question for the pod. I'm trying to accumulate a handful of cards that I think could possibly PSA 10. What do I need to know about older cards such as the Bow Black and White scorecard before I submit? And I think it means Bo Jackson. Are they easier or harder grades? Do they grade differently if they're 35 or more years old? Thanks in advance.
So first thing I would do would be go to the PSA pop report and type in that card and take a look real quick and see how many are graded, how many of those are 10s, how many of those are 9s, and just kind of get a feel there. If you got a super low number of 10s versus, you know, maybe a higher number of 9s, that'll tell you what you need right there. It's probably tough to 10. If you don't see a ton graded, then, you know, maybe there just haven't been a lot that have been worthy of sending in, or maybe it's just something that people didn't want to grade. In this case, I'm going to assume that people have probably sent in a lot of that bow. Next thing I would do would be look at eBay and look and see what prices are going for. And in a lot of instances, sometimes it's cheaper to just buy the 10 as opposed to buying a bunch of cards and sending them in to get graded. If that's not the case here, then, you know, be really diligent looking at some auctions and try to find something that looks clean to your eye and do the best you can. It's kind of anybody's ballgame out there.
Yeah. And from my experience, they don't grade them easier because they're older. The CEO of Collectors Universe, who owns PSA, was on the the Golden Age of Cardboard podcast with Mike Moynihan. Great pod if you're looking for some vintage. But so he had the CEO of Collectors Universe who confirmed we do not grade on a curve. So if there's a issue. Now, I call BS a little bit because I feel like I've seen some really off-center 10s from 22 Topps Chrome that was a horribly off-center set. But you hear it from the source. They say they don't grade on a curve. So,
and I've seen some forgiveness on some print lines on some Bowman Chrome models, too, for known surface issues with that set. But what are you going to do?
Yeah. All right, here's Jesse. What's your hobby pet peeve? Mine is when people put stickers on brand new top loaders. And if you try to peel them off, they sometimes leave a nasty residue. Put it on the damn penny sleeve. And as I read that, I am going to unpackage this Corey Kluber auto that I'm sending to Jesse, and I'm going to put stickers all over the damn top loader.
Don't mind while I do that. Stick it up.
What's your pet peeve? I'm not kidding. I'm doing it.
This is payback. I'm watching them do it. I've seen them do it. I've seen them. You know, pet peeves, most of them probably come from just being on Reddit for too long, which is, you know, people asking elementary level questions without doing any of the preliminary research. It's the equivalent to just barging in a room unannounced and demanding everybody answer questions. You know what I'm saying? Other than that, I would say poor shipping practices really, you know, bug me a lot. Unwillingness to you know, be appropriate when it comes to pricing in some instances. You know, you got a guy, you know, the I know what I have guy, but he really doesn't know what he has. Just little stuff like that. But by and large, man, I've learned to just kind of keep it moving with a lot of that kind of stuff, you know, with the exception of horribly shipped cards that I receive.
Yeah, I've generally learned that in terms of life, like getting pissed off about shit is rarely a winning formula for me being happy with my life. So I try to let shit go as I get older. But if I say the one thing that still does bother me, it's when I get this, like somebody trying to buy a card off me and they like, it's one thing to say like, hey, I think, you know, your listing price is a little too high, blah, 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 blah. Like, that's fine. But some people like get real aggressive with it. Like, I've had some people like on eBay, like, hey, like, here are two other comps for the card. Like, and they like aggressively slam the price that I have on it. I'm like, bro, just don't buy it. Like, some stuff is listed up for the purpose of, I'd let it go for this price, and for any other price, I'd probably just prefer to keep it for myself, and that's okay. So I don't like when buyers get mad about prices. Like, nobody you don't have to buy it, bro. This isn't like, we're not talking about like fucking water or oxygen or food. Like, you don't need this to live. Just move along.
With very few exceptions, I only speak to people on eBay with numbers in the offer menu. I am not sending guys messages with sob stories or comps yeah. or any of that kind of stuff. And on the other side of that, if you're doing that to me as a seller, I'm likely not going to engage with that, or you're probably not going to appreciate the response you receive. I don't have a problem with a friendly, respectful message, with an honest question. But again, to go back to what you're talking about, yeah, I have an issue with that, bro. And I'm not playing that stuff. I don't got any time for that.
And on the flip side, as a buyer, I'm going to bitch about some things that sellers do. If you list a card up for $200 or best offer, like, that generally means you're willing to accept offers. So if mm-hmm. I send you an offer for $180 that's above comps, like, and I get an auto decline, I'm like, okay, whatever. They really want closer to 200. I'll offer 190 and I get an auto decline. Mm-hmm. And then I offer 195 and I get an auto decline. I'm like, yo, just list it for $200 then. Please, bro. It's fine. Just save my time. And like, the buyer would probably say, if I have something listed for 200 or best offer, don't lowball me with a $60 offer. So, yeah, you know, it works both ways. Yeah. We're all hypocrites in our own ways.
If I'm listening for 200 OBO and I'm putting a, you know, auto decline threshold, I might set that at 100, maybe 125, you know, yeah, depending on the car.
I've generally got
to 150, right? I mean, come on.
Yeah. I've lately selling cards, I've just put prices. I've eliminated the or best offer in most cases. I put it for about what I'd want to sell it for, and then people can either buy it or not. And if they don't buy it and I get a bunch of watchers and I really want to let go of the card, then I'll send an offer at some point once I've got, like, you know, 15, 20 watchers or more on it. So I don't know, just what I do. And by the way, did you see I just stickered the shit out of that top loader for Jesse? I might wrap this damn thing in scotch tape. We'll see. But that might be a little too dick of a move.
Yeah, and then go duct tape around the bubble mailer. He's going to need like precision surgical tools to get to the cards.
Oh my God. All right. Here's a good one too. This is from I'm Not the Only One Who Collects Braves and Gunner. When buying a card, what gets you more hyped, getting a great deal or getting something hard to find? This goes great with the budgeting episode, I think.
Getting something hard to find for me. Just, I don't know. I think that's kind of where I'm at right now, is just I want something that nobody else or very few people have. So that's kind of, you know, where I've taken my
1000% agree. And I think that was my pitfall when I was like more junior to the hobby. I would feel like if I saw something posted on Facebook or Reddit or in the Discord, and I felt like it was a great deal, I felt like I had to be the one to take that deal. And it was a FOMO thing. But yeah. Like realistically, those things that I bought for great deals were the things that I was turning around and trying to sell later. And even if it was a great deal, the time and hassle to sell and fees if you're on eBay, like it's really not a great deal. If you don't want the card, just don't buy it. So I'm much happier getting something rare. Like, do you see, I think I saw you like it, the Gunner that I bought.
Yeah, that was sick. Was sick.
Oh, this is a good one for I'm Not the Only One, since he said he collects Gunner. So I found on eBay, I've had on the top 10 hit list at number 3 for a while has been a Gunner rookie auto. And I saw something I wasn't expecting. I saw a gold Gunner, so just like the flagship gold parallel out of 2023, and somebody had it signed with like one of those gold paint pens and authenticated by PSA. And I was like, bang, that's rare. That's the card. The ink matches the parallel and the dirt on his jersey. I'm like, hell yeah, I'm getting that because filthy. That is rare. And that's my Gunner card now. So that's perfect example. I think I paid $240 for it. I'd rather pay $240 for that rare thing that I think is super cool than get a great bargain on another Gunner card for $240 that I don't feel as strongly about when I look at the card. Like, this card spoke to me. I'm like, that's my card right there. Like, I knew it when I saw it. So, yeah.
Yeah, it was right a nice pickup for sure.
All right, here are some from the shareholders. Let's see. From Alex. It's actually not a dick question at all. What food would you pick for the next version of the Taco Fractor? Maybe the Taco Fractor is your pet peeve, TJ, but what's your food, man?
Yeah, that's a dick question for the record.
I think it's a cool question because you know they're going to do this dumb shit.
At minimum, make it baseball food related. You have so many options. You got hot dogs, Cracker Jacks, beers, sodas, any number of those things. If you absolutely insist on making this abomination of baseball cards with images of food in the background, I don't know, maybe team up with Wiener Schnitzel or something, Sonic. I mean, there's a lot of avenues you can go here. Just the local vendors at the ballpark, there's got to be something you could do. Or you could just axe that completely and go with, you know, just making regular baseball cards. But that's just me.
Chick-fil-A chicken nugget fractor.
I'm a bitch.
A pizza fractor sponsored by Papa John's, a coffee fractor from Starbucks, you know, since it's going to be tied into some giveaway. All right, that's it. That's it. The cold brew. Oh, I got it. A cold brew fractor. And because it's cold, it's negative numbered. So it's numbered to -5. It's got like coffee vibes, and you get like a lifetime supply of Starbucks cold brews, which are the unofficial sponsor of this podcast that I'm drinking every single one of these episodes. So,
I mean, so you're just talking about things you want to hit at this point.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, because nobody actually wants cards with foods on them, right? Like the same way we don't want like Easter Bunny cards. So what do I know?
And now that the cat is out of the bag, it's going to be the hype will be decreased next year because nobody likes Taco Bell like that.
All right. Z Water Bear, Braves and JC Collector. Any players who are starting off slowly that you're buying in on or that people should consider buying in on?
J-Rod.
Oh, yeah. Love me some J-Rod. And go ahead.
Caminero. J-Rod and Caminero. I'm holding strong. Again, with my Mel Gibson face.
Yeah. I would also say Corbin Carroll. He's off to a rough start. So if he continues, like I think he's got like a 625 OPS and like one home run or something.
World Series hangover.
Yeah. D-backs are playing some rough baseball right now. So I'd take a look back at those 2023 Corbin Carroll cards. They're going to start to fade as there's lots of competition for them. But yeah, I like your answers as well. He also has a different question. Do you believe that the call-up hype is different if players make the roster in spring training versus mid-season?
Absolutely. because in spring training now you're contending with all of the other call-ups, because there's a good chunk of guys that kind of get called up in spring training. It's like, oh, all these guys made the roster. In addition to the rookie hype, and, you know, whereas ideally if a guy gets called up mid-season, there's really not a lot of other stuff going on. So the hype is all kind of focused singularly, as I was hoping would be the case with Junior Caminero. So, yeah, let's see if he gets called up like the second week of June. What the hell else is going to be going on then? You know what I'm saying? So, bam, that's when, you know, the market spikes. That's kind of my look.
That's what we're hoping, right? We got to dump some more of these Caminero cards. I still want to keep one, but I've got, let's see, I got three left. I want to sell two of them. So, that, I know. I looked at comps, though, and it's like, not that comps are everything, but I think I'd be taking a bath on that trade. I was surprised. I think you muted yourself. TJ just showed me his J-Rod Topps Inception auto.
I think it's that. I think this one's like 120, 150, something like that right now.
All right. I will give it a look. I need to. Honestly, it's not all about comps either. Like, I just prefer having a J-Rod auto in my collection. So. Not that I don't already have J-Rod autos, but, you know, the consumerist side of me, if I can trade for it and not put any cash out in my pocket, you know, maybe it's the move. Those Inception autos are sick, too.
Oh, it's so nice.
I almost asked Philly, but I didn't, if he still has the Vlad Inception auto that I traded him. It's like a dual SGC double 10. Ooh. I miss it. I traded it to him the night that Vlad won the home run derby, and I want it back. Philly, if you have listened to the episode and you want to make a deal, holler at me. All right, TJ, I think you have a giveaway.
Goddamn right I do, my man. So I ran two. I ran one for the whole Discord, giving away a Samuel Zavala first Bowman Mojo Refractor SGC 10. Tons of entries there. But I went ahead and gave that to my man, Ben, Giptofsa. I'm sure that's probably not how you say the screen name, but Ben, you know who you are, my man. For those of you who don't know, Ben's a big Orioles fan, does a lot of stuff, real active in the Discord, volunteers and does a lot of things in the community. Just a real stand-up guy. So shout out to you, Ben. And then for the shareholders, as we like to call them, or the subscribers, I did a little bit of a different giveaway. So we're doing a Junior Caminero first Bowman paper, PSA 10, and I'm going to throw some PC cards and some EFIS stickers and stuff like that. This one's going to my man JC, Mets fan. And JC joined
nice.
A while back, kind of just a relative newbie guy in the hobby. He's kind of gained his, you know, baseball card diploma, if you will, just being in the EFIS. Guy asks a lot of questions. He's got his pops in there. They're running breaks together. It's just really, really dope. So I'm happy to have him around. He's real active, and I know he listens all the time as well. So congratulations, my man.
Nice. Thanks for doing that, man. I need to figure out a giveaway other than these team bags. If you want a team bag, holler at me. Definitely tried to clean house here a little bit. Hopefully the next time we're on, I have like a fully cleaned up collection. I know I've been saying that for literally a year. It's so damn hard to like stay on top of this shit when you're piling more junk base cards on top every week.
Yeah, you know? Bro.
So it's that's wild. Part of the like, don't buy hobby boxes. It's more shit to clean up. So maybe I'll allow myself to buy a hobby box at some point again, once I'm finally cleaned up, but I don't know, man. I like to say that maybe I'll be done, but it's just stacks on stacks on stacks.
And it's crazy. It's never ending.
It's overtaking my office. So, and yeah, like we missed the last epi. I think, you know, TJ's got a lot going on. I've got a lot going on. We're at different phases of the hobby that we used to be. We'll try to be as regular as we can, but you know, you might see some disruption. It might not be every 2 weeks the way it has been, but we'll do our best to get you as much baseball card content as we can. I don't want to just spend time talking about every single release. So we'll hit the major releases and we'll do episodes like this when we have important topics. And if any players that we don't like really start to heat up, then we'll have an individual episode for how great they are so that we can knock them out of the lineup.
Yeah, absolutely. One-off curse episodes. I'm with it.
There we go. Anything else you got, TJ, that you want to hit?
I think that's pretty much it, man. Pretty solid. Once again, shout out to Philly for coming through and, you know, kind of laying it out there for us. It's not an easy thing to do. So, you know, again, if you're kind of struggling with any of that type of stuff, you know, reach out, get some help, man. I'm happy to talk to you. I'm sure Bobby's happy to talk to you. Philly's already, you know, raised his hand and say he'd be willing to do that. It's all relative, man, and everybody's in a different spot in their life. We're not just our PCs and who we collect and stuff like that. So it's a community. We act like that. Let us know if you need something. Besides that, man, shout out to the Discord. Shout out to you for another one of these. Philly, all the guys, appreciate y'all.
Yeah, shout out Philly, especially this time, for coming on. I didn't know if he was going to be able to make it. I just sent him like the invite and was like, yeah, man, we're going to start around 10. Join if you want. Don't if you, you know, whatever. But I really appreciate Philly, like, honestly, like, talking to us and telling us where he was at when this was really hitting him hard, and sharing with the community. And just, I mean, you know, say what you want about, like, I know he was very unhappy with where he was at, but like, what a leader, and very brave in like sharing with this community. And you're going to do a lot of help for other people to really make them reevaluate and prevent other people from getting into those situations. Cause it's a pitfall. This is a consumerist hobby, right? So,
no doubt.
And that's why we felt it was important to do this episode. So thank you. If you've made it this far, especially, thank you for listening the whole way through. TJ, thank you for, you know, being here as always. You got lots of responsibilities. You got all these jobs flying around. You got wife and kid at home. Lot going on, my dude. And shout out to the Discord. I appreciate you guys. I love the community. Shout out to all the guys doing breaks and all the other great things that are going on there. Shout out to my boy, Wax, for sending me over a home run derby challenge code for J-Rod for Sunday. I just like put it out there, shot in the dark. I'm like, J-Rod's got he hasn't hit any homers. He's got a doubleheader at Coors Field. Who wants to double down with me? I need to get a code. He just sent me a pick with a code. I'm like,
thanks, you know, bro. What? And earlier this morning, I sent him a Ozzie Albies home run challenge code just because I had it laying on my desk. He's the first Braves fan I thought of. So this nice little karmic cycle kind of worked itself.
Nice.
Over there.
Love it. Love it. All right. Thank you, guys. Thank you, TJ. Till the next time, I guess. Maybe the next one's a Bowman episode. So something to really think about is this budgeting stuff as you approach Bowman, because Bowman is like, I feel like Bowman, if this whole hobby is like a casino, Bowman is when you take a step back into that high rollers club. Like it can rack up quick over there.
I mean, two sentences on Bowman: just buy the blasters, leave the hobby products alone. Just buy the blasters. Blasters are going to be hot. They're going to be loaded. And it's good that they're 30 instead of 35. So get the blasters. Leave the rest of that stuff alone. Please leave it alone. I promise you.
Leave the mega boxes alone, too. Those were pretty shit last year.
These packs are just, I still have some from last. I still have.
Bro, me too.
I still have. Who wants 2023 Bowman mega box base packs? If you listen this deep, send me a DM. I'll send you two of them right now.
Same. I got eight of them sitting right here. So if you want Junior Caminero base cards, maybe a chrome if you're lucky, there it is. But yeah, those things were awful. Bobby Bouquet's did his like 8-box break, and we didn't hit shit from those.
Yeah, don't do
so,
it. Don't do
so
it.
That might be a stay away. So, yeah. But thank you all. We're going to wrap this one up. Thanks, TJ.
Later, guys.
Talk to you later, man. Bye.